So Paul's preaching of the gospel was under attack in Galatia. What you have is a defense here against those who have been saying that Paul has the wrong pedigree. He has the wrong pedigree. That is, he doesn't have, he's not in the tradition, or he doesn't have the connections that these, what the scripture calls Judaizers, do. They had come up from the church in Jerusalem, which was the most famous, is considered the mother church of the day. And so they thought they exceeded Paul, or that they were better than Paul in their pedigree, that Paul had the wrong past. We're pointing to the fact that Paul had been a persecutor of the church, and that as far as Christianity goes, he's a Johnny come lately, and he isn't to be trusted because of his past. So first he treats this idea of pedigree, and in both cases he says it's not about pedigree, it's about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not about your past, it's about the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, he doesn't say, well, your gospel comes through one set of men, and my gospel comes through another set of men. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's not about which tradition you're in. If you hear people talk about that, they'll say, we believe in this tradition, and they believe in that tradition, and you get this kind of multiplication. And it's true that we do receive teaching from one generation to another, and we're grateful for what the Lord has done. In particular, this church, we are children of the Reformation. We are children of the Westminster Assembly, and these are, to some extent, our pedigree. But those things are only useful if what they were reforming to in the Reformation was reforming to the Word of God that comes from God Himself. And if what they were summarizing in their confession at the Assembly was what the Word of God teaches, that it comes from God Himself. And so Paul answers this this question of pedigree, saying, it's not about man, it's not from man. In fact, the Lord Jesus in Paul's life made this very clear, because He Himself personally revealed Himself to Paul. It's not pedigree, it's about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul isn't ungrateful or demeaning the apostles in Jerusalem. He's just saying it goes back directly or ultimately to Jesus. And this is one of the reasons, careful with the, Christianity isn't a religion thing. It is a religion. It includes a particular way of worship. It includes a particular way of living. It is a life-encompassing worldview. It affects everything you think and everything you do. What it isn't is it's not a man-made religion. There are way too many of those in the world. As Brother Calvin once said, observing from the scripture and knowing, of course, his own hearts and other men, our hearts are idol factories. And when people rail against religion, it's for one of two reasons. One, they are justly disgusted with the spiritual inventions of men. Or the other, they hear what you're saying, they know it's true, and they are looking for an excuse to reject it. It's not about pedigree, it's about a person. And this is something that we've already seen, isn't it? When we're thinking about what it means or how serious it is to alter the gospel, to change the theology of the gospel by laying something else alongside it. Remember, he said, I marvel that you are turning away to a different gospel. From what? You remember? It was a what question with a who answer. It was from a person. So it's not about pedigree, it's about person. That's the important thing. I mean, for somebody who knows the language, who knows the jargon, and you want a shortcut to explain where you're coming from, you can say, I'm Reformed, or I'm Presbyterian, or I'm confessional, or I'm Westminsterian. But what you are aiming at in interacting with others, and what you're aiming at in interacting with the Lord, is that you would believe and hold to the faith once delivered that has at its core the Lord Jesus himself. Every doctrine, every truth in the Christian life has its connection to the Lord Jesus. And the place where we need to be convinced is in how it connects to Christ. And that's the most effective way to talk to a believer who is from a different tradition or from a different, use this word, pedigree there, is to show how whatever the truth is that's at question, where it connects to who Jesus is, what Jesus is like, what Jesus has done, what he is doing now, what he will do in the future, how his life is worked out in the believer, how he is glorified, all of those things. Because at the heart of it, anybody who's a Christian, no matter what their pedigree is, the one thing they're sure of is that Jesus Christ is God who became a man to die and rise again for their salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, and for their everlasting life. And so that's the tack, or that's the strategy that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is using as he answers this. He says, it's not about my pedigree. I didn't learn it from any man at all. I learned it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you trust in him and if you follow him, you have to receive what I'm saying, because I am his apostle and this is his gospel. It's not just what Paul is trying to get us to think, and it's not just what Paul is trying to get us to do. This came from Jesus. The other problem that Paul had in their minds was his past. And if any of us were entirely known by everyone else, we would be horrified. And that which everyone knew about us would cause them perhaps to lose confidence in us if that's where their confidence was. This is another place where they were going astray and putting confidence in man instead of putting confidence in Christ. And he says, actually, if you think about my past, I had advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries, being more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my fathers. So on the one hand, they were saying, you know, Paul had this past of persecuting the church. We shouldn't really listen to him. And on the other hand, they were saying, Paul is saying you don't have to follow the ceremonial law, and keeping the law doesn't make you right with God, and it doesn't give you spiritual power. And he said, well, when I was persecuting the church in my past, I was doing a better job of caring about the ceremonial law and seeking spiritual power in us and in what we do. But for Paul, his past goes past when he was a Pharisee. He said, okay, let's talk about past. Let's talk about before I was born. Isn't it interesting that he talks about how he persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it? And then he said, but when it pleased God, who, what, verse 15, separated me from when? From my mother's womb, and called me through his grace. You hear what he's saying? He's saying that whole time before I came to Christ, that whole time when I was resisting Christ, God had already planned to set me apart. He had already set me apart, and he had already planned to call me through his grace to preach this gospel. So don't you hold against me and the preaching of the gospel those things that in God's providence he permitted and ordained that I would do. Yes, they were wicked. Yes, they were awful. Yes, I repent of them. And they're the reasons why he calls himself the chief of sinners. But they were being used of God to prepare me for the call that he would place upon my life. So you don't hold my past against me, he says, because even that past was under the control of a person. And so, not pedigree, but the person of the Lord Jesus, and that it comes from him, not our past, but the person of the Lord Jesus and what he is doing. And what is it that he does as he reveals himself? It might not be surprising to you to find out that something that has come to be called Christianity ever since Antioch. Oh, and by the way, how was it that the believers in Antioch came to be called Christians? You remember there was a church growing up there, and it had been planted by Cypriots and Cyrenians, and so they were Greek. It was a Greek culture church, and there just weren't a whole lot of Greek culture teachers. And Barnabas, remember, he said, you know what, there's this guy that got converted, and then he got run out of Damascus. He's in Tarsus right now. He is exactly the kind of teacher we need here. And he goes to Tarsus, and he gets Paul, and he brings Paul to Antioch. And it was under the teaching, discipling ministry of Paul in Antioch that this centrality of Christ and union with him that we see throughout all of his letters, as he was teaching that, and they were growing in believing and holding to Jesus as the heart of their walk with God in what at that point was called the way, that they first came to be called Christians. And so sometimes you'll hear people, you know, they're trying to be cute, they're getting away from the word Christian, they don't like the word Christian, just like they don't like the word religion, and they say, oh, I'm a follower of the way. Don't you know that name went out of style after Paul taught them about union with Christ in Antioch? That's not wrong to say you're a follower of the way, but just don't think that that's somehow better than using the word Christian. Because Christianity really is all about the Lord Jesus himself. And he describes the preaching of the gospel as the revealing of God's Son in me. So when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him, not preach content now, but a person. Of course there is content. Of course there is doctrine. That's why the doctrine is important, is because it is in the preaching of the gospel that Jesus himself is displayed. We saw that also in 2 Corinthians. To reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. When all that happened, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So basically, what we need to take away from Galatians 1, 11 through 17 is, who is it that we are following? Are we following men who come from a particular tradition? If you're in a good tradition, the men of that tradition would hate that. That's why I think it's ironic. That giant sculpture, those statues of the four reformers in Central Europe, and a month or two ago they were defaced by people who hate Christianity and hate the gospel. And on the one hand, you grieve over a world that hates Christ so much. On the other hand, you think the men of whom those statues are made would have been like the first to lead the charge to knock them down and destroy them. Whom are you following? Are you following a tradition? Or are you, by God's mercy, in a tradition where you follow Jesus himself, because the gospel is from him, his word is from him, and it's all about him? What do you exult in? Do you exult in how good you seem to be doing? And that's what the people who are deceiving the Galatians do. Paul's going to tell them later. They want you to walk by works because they want to wear you as their badge of honor. What do you rejoice in? What makes you feel like your Christian walk is really great? Is it about you and what you're doing? Or is it about the Lord Jesus himself and what he does in you? So not pedigree, but a person. Not past, but a person. Not performance, but a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ.